Will you marry a nativity?
No, because they give the shy kids the balls. And it is straight away.
Go on.
Pokemon.
I knew you were going to say that as well.
People have done it on Mastermind, and they get such easy questions.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN.
So I'm here with Izzy Morris and Rachel. Rachel, I don't know your last name, and now I feel terrible.
Yeah, that's okay. It's Rachel Proud.
Proud. It's such a cool last
name.
It's absolutely not a cool last name. It's like, I don't know. It's really weird. I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it's a Disney show called The Proud Family.
The Proud Family.
Yeah, have you watched it?
I have never watched it.
I feel like you have to, if that's your name.
I feel like I have to, I just haven't.
Fair.
Which is probably even worse.
I think you'd watch it and then maybe assign members of your family to...
Oh, that is actually a shout. I should do that, absolutely.
The Proud Family.
Yeah.
It's quite a good idea. Yeah, so obviously you're both members of URN. That is the whole reason why we're here. Izzy, you have a very special role being part of committee, head of audio production. I can read it on your jumper. I would have just called you head of audio, to be honest.
I am head of audio. I am the queen of station sound.
Ooh, make it all sound good.
I try my best. We have varying results. I guess that's for the listener to decide. Do we sound good?
Please, can you rate our sound quality in this? Actually, let's not do that. Let's not do that, because that will stress me out. But you've also done A Pinch of Alt.
I have.
Which is your After Dark show, which you've been doing for, 2 years now?
A year, exactly.
Okay, so you didn't start straight off the bat. No,
I was really ill in Precious. So for the first term of my first year, I was too ill and too stressed to do anything. So I didn't join radio until January. So I'm only been doing it for a year.
So how did you end up joining radio?
I picked this university because of radio.
So you knew you wanted to do radio?
I nearly did a media production degree at Salford instead, and there was a couple of other options, but I picked Nottingham, A, because I'm from Leicester, so really close, and because I wanted to do URN, because URN was the best student radio station.
Still is the best radio station.
I don't care what any of the awards say, we still 100% are.
I think you had a similar kind of...
Honestly.
Because of radio?
Kind of, yeah. Practice? So, like, going around open days and all that, I went to, like, Royal Holloway, and then there was someone who was dressed up, I think it was just as a massive squirrel, and they were, like, repping radio station. I was like, I should probably look into radio. And then I went to the Nottingham open day, and it was, like, insane. And I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to go to Nottingham because of URN.
So you went into uni actually wanting to do radio, which I feel like a lot of people don't. A lot of people just kind of fall into it somehow. But I respect that. And I like that you kind of... I knew I wanted to join student radio when I went to uni, but I didn't have the forethought of what is this radio station, anything like that. The only reason I wanted to join it is because my dad did it at uni, and he always talked about how it was the best thing he ever did. And so I just picked Nottingham off pure vibes. I didn't go to a single open day for any university.
Shout out to COVID.
Yeah.
Woo.
I wasn't even that.
Was it not?
No, I applied way before COVID.
Oh, you're in Luxembourg, I suppose.
Yeah, I was too stressed to go to open days, and my mum was like... Do you want me to organise things? I was like, Mum, I'm too stressed for you to organise things, but I'm too stressed myself to organise things.
I rate that so highly.
Yeah, I love that.
You should navigate life through vibes.
That's what I've always said. You know when you do those like quizzes online, it's like, are you a heart or head? Like, do you go off what your brain's thinking, what your heart's thinking? I rationalise things in my mind, but it's pure vibes.
Yeah.
It's whatever I feel.
It's whatever the BuzzFeed quiz says, honestly.
Spoken like a true daytimer.
I know, right? I'm over daytime.
That is one of my big questions I want to talk about. So you both, I mean, Rachel, we didn't even get to what show you do.
Oh, no.
Please give us a plug.
So it's a sneaky plug. I do the URN Top 25. So basically, like any artist, any year, any situation, I've got a little like thing that I do to calculate the top 25 songs of pretty much anything that you want me to do.
And I will say I saw your TikTok. And then I saw people say, no, there are Excel formulas you can use for this.
I don't want to talk about it, right? It is general trauma to me right now. Like, I think it was even like Joe Banks, who's he is like a massive person to me. And so like it makes it sound like I'm obsessed with him. Obviously, I'm not obsessed with him, but like
we're all obsessed with Joe Banks.
Especially you, Erin.
Yes, you should see our messages. It is me going, Joe, what if we filmed a TikTok? Joe, what if we did this? And he says, he'll always be like, Erin, you're a genius. Erin, this is going to work great. We're going to be famous. Like, he hypes me up so much for my ideas. And I'm always like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so special. Joe Banks complimented me.
Yeah, your social does bang, though. I absolutely love it.
We try. Yeah. I am going to plug your TikTok. It's great.
Thank you.
We love it. I do think it's amazing. And it does make me laugh. Every time it comes up, I'm like, that's funny. You do it well. But yeah, you do top 25, which is after dark, then it's...
Yeah, so it's a weird one because it's after dark, but it's in the morning.
So it's
that weird one. So like 7 to 9 a.m., it's lovely. I used to be in uni for like 12 a.m., like not 12 a.m., for 12 hours every Friday. Ooh, that was rough.
That is...
But yeah.
I used to have done a 7 to 9 last year. It's character building.
It's like, you know that like CapCut thing on TikTok where it's like the In the Night Garden boat?
Yes.
That was me tracking to uni every single Friday. It was pure vibes.
Of course. Well, you're both after darkers. Would you say that there's a big stereotype that comes with after darkers? And do you think you fall into it?
Shackets. It's just shackets, isn't it?
It's the shackets.
I don't think I do fall into the after dark stereotype. I'm not very cool. And I'm okay
with
that.
Would you say that?
I think you're very cool.
I dress like a mum. I like that, though.
I think that's cool, though.
That's very cool.
I'm my own brand of cool. I'm Moz cool.
You are. You really are. And I think that's what makes you cool.
Yeah. If you have your own brand, you're cool.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Like...
If you can define what Moz cool is, you're cool.
Yeah, Moz cool's cool. Yeah. Moz cool's mum. Moz cool's red. Moz cool stars. Yeah. Moz cool is way of life.
It's Moz. It's Moz. I think we should clarify for anyone who doesn't know you. Izzy Morris goes by Moz half the time.
Yeah.
I do, especially because there are so many Izzys. Whenever I was like writing down something, like I wrote this down in my calendar, we were recording now, I just put Moz because it just makes my life easier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Rachel? Do you think you're an after darker at heart, or maybe not quite?
I honestly don't think I know enough about any of the people. Mm. Like, I think after dark people in my like experience are all quite mysterious.
Yes.
And I am not cool enough to be mysterious. Like, you've seen my TikTok. I am like nerd at heart, honestly. But like a lot of people who do after dark, they're loads of like DJs and all that. Mm. Like loads of DJs. They have the really like niche like musical interests, and I literally play the most basic stuff on my show.
It's sounding to me a little bit like you both want to be daytime.
Mm.
I am an after dark because I you couldn't play all of my stuff on daytime, and I like the freedom to choose.
Mm. That's true.
I like to talk about music. I like to talk about gigs. I like to talk about new albums. And I think I have the personality of a daytime.
You've got life in you.
The zest.
Whereas I assume I'm not an after darker, and that is the one thing I've never done in radio. I've done culture, news, sport, daytime. After dark, you'll never catch me there. As much as I love the idea of it, I am not that cool. My music tastes are quite basic. Taylor Swift is my most popular artist, followed by Harry Styles.
That's absolutely fine.
And I take full pride of it. I don't care.
Yeah.
One Direction will always be in my top five artists every year, and you can't find me on that.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm a boy band girly.
So valid.
Yeah. And I think that's important. I don't know. That question kind of was birthed from me thinking about... There are quite a lot of little, like, stereotypes for whatever part of the station you're in. Like, you know, if you're daytime, you probably have basic music taste. You just play whatever is on the playlist you want. You're there to chat. But not necessarily. And that's okay. And it's nice to know that we're a big mix.
We break them all.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's what the question's about, is giving you an opportunity to fight these stereotypes and to show the people who you really are. Wow.
That's very deep. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. That is the whole reason why we're doing this. But yeah, you both obviously do your radio shows. Do you listen to a lot of radio elsewise? Do you listen to a lot of podcasts? Where do your interests lie there? Basically, I'm looking for recommendations of what I should be listening to.
Okay. I mean, I feel like I am going to be in a lot of trouble for this, but I am an Apple Music girly.
Same.
I know. Same. Okay, thank you.
And I will fight you. Apple Music's better.
Thank you.
What? On what planet?
on every planet.
As in, like, so my, I've had, like, I don't think I've ever not had an Apple phone. And so my mum just kind of came in and went, like, oh, I got an Apple Music subscription. So Spotify has just never been, like, anywhere on my radar before. So I've always just grown up on Apple Music. And the Apple Music Radio bangs.
It does.
I loved Apple Music Radio, like the Dottie Show, Zane Lowe Show.
I like Zane Lowe.
Oh, he's so good.
Zane Lowe
we
is
used
great.
To have Zane Lowe Radio 1, right? If I remember correctly.
I can't remember. I'll be honest, he's this kind of person where I've always just watched back clips of, sort of thing. I've never listened to him live or anything like that, but I just find him on YouTube.
Yeah. He did like an interview, I think it was off, like Post Malone or something. And so that was peak exam time for me, like peak A-level exams. And so I just remember like doing my Jane Eyre quotes and just not paying any attention just because I was like, wow, Post Malone and Zane Lowe are so cool. Like, I want to be like them when I grow up.
What about you, Moz? What's your go-to listening?
Well, so I used to like sneakily listen to the radio when I was little. Like, you remember the Dan and Phil show?
Oh my god, I loved that.
I never listened to them on Radio 1, but I found out they're on Radio 1, I was like, you're so cool. I didn't really have access to. I probably could have if I knew how, but I didn't know how to access British radio thing, not in England.
Yeah, I had it as like. Just, no,
yeah.
Are we all like secretly part of the fandom in this podcast?
Is it secret?
I have an Instagram account.
I love that.
I used to like draw whiskers on my face, realistically.
So Dan and Phil, I love Alice Levine. My dad wrote porno is really brilliant, and her radio show that she used to have, Phil Taggart, that was probably what I'd like to emulate the most if I go to radio. I love Joe Wiley, Radio 2. Greg James, obviously, we all do.
Maybe who doesn't love him?
Like, everyone loves Greg James here, and it was very weird coming here. Like, there's literally like an ident, isn't there? Of just Greg James.
There's Greg James talking.
I'm a big Greg James fan.
Yeah. Look, I also love Greg James. I want to say that now. But.
No, but everyone it is loves funny him. That he is the one everyone goes, no, but we love Greg James.
Yes. Yeah. And Michelle Visage on Radio 2.
Oh, yeah.
And Stephen McLaurin Byrne, Radio 6.
So are you more a radio listener than a podcast listener?
I listen to, any podcast I listen to have a purpose for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very specific. So Gilmore for Soap, the Gilmore Girls podcast.
Who does that? I've never heard of that one.
Get their names, really. It's good.
Is there any of the actors on it, or is it just fans of the show?
It's fans of the show.
Mm.
There's a couple of Sex and Wellness ones, because of the Erngasm.
Yes. We haven't even mentioned Erngasm. You do have a podcast yourself.
Yeah, the Sex and Relationship podcast, Erngasm.
Yeah.
With Ben and Cora. It's great.
It's fun.
And the Unspoke Too Soon, the cycling podcast.
Of course, can't forget about Spoke Too Soon.
We can. Everyone does, including me.
To be honest, I don't. I love it. Aww. I've never listened.
So you don't love it?
I love the idea of it. Yeah. I just I don't know anything about cycling. Except, I've told you, my claim to fame is, well, I've moved house now, but the village where I used to live in Luxembourg is where Andy Schleck had a cycle shop.
Wow.
Andy Schleck cycle shop. That's what it's called. And my village has a population of about, I think it's 1,500. There is absolutely no reason why I should have a cycle shop there. But, you know, it's Luxembourg. Who's to say?
It's its own place.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
It really is. I don't know if you ever read... Now, this might be going off topic and niche, but I just assume if people, you know, have watched Dan and Phil when they're younger, I don't know, maybe read a book or two when they were younger, probably same sort of circles I was in. Who is it? The Mortal Instruments, right?
Ooh.
That's obsessed.
I'm glad I paid you as knowing exactly what I'm going to mention here. And there's the made-up place in The Mortal Instruments, right? Mm-hmm. And it's described as being between, like, France and Germany. It's described exactly where Luxembourg is.
So you are a character.
What
you
is
are,
it?
You are Clary.
Oh, I can't remember what the place is called. It's like
no, me neither. But it is really good.
Yeah. Oh, great books. Growing up, not growing up. Now I have grown up, and I see it on TikTok every so often. People have a lot more to say about it. Maybe not so positively, but I enjoyed it thoroughly. Cassandra Clare, when I was younger, was a. I don't want to say influence, but she was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
As she should be.
Yeah.
As they should be. That's great.
I'm glad I mentioned it and you guys knew what I was talking about. I always get scared to bring things up when I'm like, this was really big for me, but I have no idea if anyone else knows it. And that kind of also brings on to one of the random questions I like to ask people is, what would be your specialist subject if you're going on Mastermind or a quiz show or something like that? What is your niche interest that you know way too much about for no reason?
I know this straight away.
Go on.
Pokemon.
I knew you were going to say that as well.
People have done it on Mastermind and they get such easy questions.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I go through Pokedex entries for fun. Like, these are the weird... Me and my sister were going through Cubone and Marowak the other day.
Nice. Really fun time.
Is there like a specific sort of era of Pokemon? Is it more the games, the TV show? Is it...
I think it would be Pokedex entries.
Yeah.
It would be like... Yeah, I think so. I think I would struggle with the anime. It would be more about the games. I think.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to do the competitive stuff because I'd get confused.
Yeah.
But
that's very fair.
Or Gilmore Girls would be the other option.
Any season in particular with Gilmore Girls, or just you could do any of them?
I think I could do any. Maybe not A Year in the Life, but I could do 1 to 7. Season 1 to 7.
Yeah. Very well done.
I love Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Me too, but I only ever go back and rewatch from season 5 onwards. If Logan's not there, I don't care.
I would never peg you as a Logan.
That's really interesting because Logan is perfect.
You know I'm a Jess girl. You know.
I know. I love Jess. Sorry, listeners, if you have no idea about Gilmore Girls, but maybe you should watch it. I love Jess, but Jess and Rory never worked quite in the way they should have.
Yeah, but
they're great friends and they boost each other up, and I like their adult relationship once they've broken up.
Yeah, but he's still in love with her. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but is he?
Yes!
I think he's in love with the idea of her.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like it. Let's start our own Gilmore to Say podcast.
But Logan was always the one who I loved. Which, I don't know, makes me fun and interesting, maybe, because Jess, I feel like, is the one most people go, but it's Jess.
He's fit.
He is. Can't deny it. Rachel, specialist subject.
I feel like it's probably just going to have to be, like, vines, like, complete the vines. Like, I know an obscene amount.
That's,
and it's
quite
so
a
sad.
Fun one, actually.
Like, yeah, because imagine going on, like, national TV and then someone going like, oh, complete the vine, road work ahead. And then, I don't know. I feel like that'd be so iconic.
It would be.
That would be amazing. I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I'd really like that. That's cool.
I think
you were going to say TikTok trends because you're so...
I mean, I could have said... I think I'm not on straight TikTok, though. So I feel like anything that people on Mastermind would get, they'd be all like straight TikTok trends, and I'd be like, I have no idea.
It would be who invented the whoa.
What is the next step in the, what was it? Oh no, I was gonna say something funny and now I've forgotten the names, so we're gonna just move on.
Renegade.
What was that dance? Renegade, that's
was
what
actually...
I was going with. Yeah, I was like, oh, and I just had the savage dance stuck in my head.
Savage love. It's a
bad copyrighted.
I will bleep that. Thank you. Yeah. Imagine.
Did we sing it well enough for it to be copyrighted?
Yeah, this is actually how you're starting your singing career.
Our record label.
Yeah.
We get scouted right now.
Did you ever, when you were younger, think, I want to be a singer?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
But we're musicians. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
We both play a lot of instruments.
What do you play? Where did you... Tell me the history, because I want to know your favourite instrument you're playing now, but what did you start with when you were younger, I'm guessing, and what have you worked your way into?
Yeah, you go first. I feel like you got a more interesting like music background.
I don't think that's true. But
are you sure?
Yeah. I started with like performing arts, so singing, I guess.
Okay.
And that's what I've always done, so that's like my main instrument, okay.
Were you Mary in Nativity?
No, I was the angel. No, because they gave the shy kids the roles, because it was like, so there was this one kid who was really shy, but then as soon as auditions came around, all of a sudden...
Rachel,
like,
Barry.
Oh, we're gonna like, you know, give the because she's really trying.
Yeah.
But I was always gobby and quite confident, so they were like, oh, she doesn't need it. Because I'd used to pass, so I just
got, yeah. Like, but you wanted it.
Yeah. I only got like a leave role once. Although as soon as I got to secondary school, I got quite a lot because they were like, at that point, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not about nurturing, it's about, are you good?
Yes.
With a cat and hat in Sue's school.
Well,
Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray.
That's actually
pretty
fun.
Good.
I've been Corny Collins in Hairspray when I cut my hair. But anyway, point. All of that done, greased and lies. Love me for big fun.
That's actually impressive.
Yeah, I love it so much. It's good fun. So singing, and then so the flute was my first instrument.
Lovely. How old were you when you started the flute?
I want to say like 8 or 9.
I played the flute, and I remember starting in year 4 because my school had a rule that you weren't allowed to start playing the flute until you're in year 4 because you were too small. As soon as I joined year 4, they changed the rule. You can start when you're in year 3.
How
backstab.
I am still upset about it to this day. Fair enough.
flute, then cello for a bit, not for that long, but a little bit, and trombone.
Trombone's fun.
Trombone's so fun.
Have you seen the videos with the trombone with the GoPro?
Yes.
I really want to try that out.
I do too. And then ocarina, because I got really into The Legend of Zelda. Guitar, which is now my second instrument that I'm most proficient with, and ukulele. I think that's all of them.
Which one's been your favourite?
Singing. And guitar. Definitely.
And singing is obviously the one you've done the longest.
Yes. It's the most fun because you can always do it. I like
that
to
is true.
That's a good one.
That is true. You don't have to just have it on you. I did always feel superior to everyone else with an instrument when I was at school because I had the flute and I played the piccolo for a bit as well. So even smaller.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So it was, I don't even know why, but the teacher was just like, Erin, I think you should do this. And I was like, I don't want to. And she went, too bad. And I'm like, thanks. But because my flute could fit in my school bag, I would just have it in my school bag, take it to school, and then put it in my locker, and it was done the rest of the day. Whereas everyone else, all the other music band kids were lugging massive instrument cases because no one else's would fit in their locker. Even clarinets, for some reason, our lockers were really weird. They had a really tall, skinny bit, which is where my flute fit perfectly. Ooh. And it was kind of like a B shape.
What?
Yeah. So you'd get either the B shaped one or the P shaped one.
Fine.
Very bizarre.
That's weird.
As I say, I always felt better than everyone else because my flute fit in my locker, and everyone else had to keep them downstairs by the band rooms, and they had to get a teacher to unlock and lock the cupboard.
This poor kid with the tuba and euphonium.
Yes, and the French horn as well. I always felt bad for them.
Yeah.
So many people play the French horn.
We had one girl.
The French horn is a cool instrument though.
Yeah. It is. And we had one girl who did it, and she still does music now, actually.
Nice.
Yana. Barish, who she is in a band who tours the UK every so often. It's pretty cool. And when she's not doing that, she is a radio host in Luxembourg.
Actually living the dream. Okay.
I know, okay. I know. But yeah, she is pretty cool. When she next comes to Nottingham, I am going to go see her because every time she's been, I've been busy.
Aww.
It's upset me because I'm like, I know you. I want to see you play. Rachel, instruments, what's been your journey?
So, quite similar. I was also a musical theatre galley. I literally did a presentation today about why Defying Gravity from Wicked is, why we should study that. It's so good, right? It's so good. So, yeah, I, used to do a bit of performing arts when I was younger. I started flute when I was in year three.
Oh,
I know. So,
could you?
Because I kid you not, the school changed the rule from year four through to year three. As you were
did
saying,
you go
that,
to my school.
I'm not Luxembourg.
No, but I wasn't in Luxembourg at that point.
Okay,
I was living in England.
Wow, was that just an English thing?
I'm a Surrey girl.
Nah, I'm Bristolian, mate.
Yeah,
go Brizzle.
Maybe it was just at that time where all the schools decided. New school rules.
Yeah, screw that specific year group.
I know. I'm still not over it, clearly. Deep drawn. Anyway, so you were one of those people.
I was one of those
ruined
people.
Ruined my life. Yeah,
sorry. So yeah, used to play the flute. I played piccolo and alto flute as well, because that's cool. Fun. I've also played bass flute as well, and that's really, really fun. So yeah, I did flute. And I pretty much did flute all the way throughout. I got my ABRSM diploma, which is fun.
Nice.
And then in year seven, in year four, I started playing piano, which is fun. And then in year seven, I picked up sax, the alto sax. In year eight, I picked up the tenor sax. And then I dabble in clarinet, dabble in guitar, ukulele. I also have an ocarina. And Ocarina of Time,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
See,
and then,
I started learning the ocarina just because my grandma found one at her house and went, you play the flute, figure this out.
Not
and
the
I
same.
Could play Frère Jacques, and that is it.
Nice.
And I still remember how to play Frère Jacques, and that is it.
Nice.
I love an ocarina.
I remember in year six, we used to play the little six-hole ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're a lot easier than the 12-hole ones. My hands aren't really big enough for them.
I had a little 4-hole one.
Oh,
it's tiny. As I say, it was just in my grandma's house, and she went, you'll enjoy this. And I was like, thanks.
I have a very weird, I have a weird instrument collection. So I have, I inherited an automaton for Christmas, and that is my favourite thing. Like, I'm genuinely going to try and make, like, a segment on my show for the automatome. Yeah, I love it. And then I also have, like, I think I have, like, 7 kazoos. Because, like, why not? I love kazoos.
I have 7 kazoos.
It's so nice.
I have 2 packs. I have a 3-pack and I have a 4-pack. It's quite awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. Where are your kazoos, Erin?
Where are your kazoos, Erin?
I've never had a kazoo.
Wow. We got 14 between the two of us.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I'll manage. My grandparents did go through a phase of also, they got me and my siblings all harmonicas 1 year for Christmas.
Start.
Play piano, man.
Be a band.
Mm.
Maybe.
Sibling band.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could convince the rest of them to join me, but...
I couldn't convince
mine. No. Maybe. I don't even know how we'd make that work or what we'd do there, but it would be quite fun.
Yeah.
I am tempted now.
But you should.
You're giving me ideas. Terrible ideas.
Well, we could just start a whole month about
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fair enough. I was awful at it. My brother was actually alright. Shout out to my brother, who actually... You two haven't heard it, but there is intro music to this podcast, and my brother wrote it for me.
Oh, wow! Yeah. Nice.
So big up Tom. He does. I don't know. He makes music sometimes. Doesn't put it out anywhere, as far as I know. But every so often he'll go, "Oh, I know you really like this song. I made a remix of it. Here you are." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks. You remembered I like this song."
That's so sweet.
Literally the sweetest thing, and he's lovely. So. As I say, big up my brother.
Big up brother.
Woo! Yeah.
This is my final.
And I will play you the music he wrote me. It's adorable. It's like a nice little jingle, and he sent me like 5 options. I was like, which one do you like? And I was like, oh, this one. He's like, do you want me to change it? Do you want a different key? And I was like, I don't know. It's nice. I like it.
Join the AP team, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. He doesn't normally go to Loughborough. He's on a placement year this year, but normally he's in Loughborough, so right. He could come up for meetings.
Imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love that. But yeah, you mentioned APT.
Mm-hmm.
You love your audio production.
I do.
How is it?
It's so good.
Both
of you two are members of the APT.
Yeah, we are.
We are. This might be a really strange question, but do you find, because you've now spent so much time doing AP stuff, that you're listening out for it a lot more? And, like, you'll be at concerts and stuff. Because you did go see the 1975 last night.
I did.
And I have yet to ask you actually how it was.
It was really good. It was last minute because Impact had a spare plus one. So I went... So I wasn't going until the day before. And I was like... I was in bed after Natson's birthday. And Ali was really hungover. And I woke Ali up being like, oh my gosh! I thought 1975... Because I'm not... Ali is my boyfriend. And he was going to 1975, but he... used his plus one on his mum.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cute. You're such a good son. Yeah, that was good.
Such a good son, not a good boyfriend.
Yeah, but I was Kit's date. So me and Kit went, which was nice, because I got to know Kit a lot better. Which
yeah. Kit's lovely. And I did see it. It felt like most of the student population I know went last night.
Everyone was there.
Everyone went. Just so many random friends and... Big up Jacob, he was also on the screen.
Yeah, I saw that.
I spotted that and I went, oh, it's Jacob!
That is one of my favourite videos, which obviously listeners will have absolutely no context to what we're talking about, but...
Go to impact.com for the review. It'll be up by the time it's posted, so...
Yeah, speaking of reviews and sort of like going to concerts and stuff, you do dabble in music interviews, if I'm not wrong.
I do, so dabble. I write for Left Lion, The Mic, and Impact. And I've done interviews for Student Music Network.
How have you found that? And my main question is, who's been the best person you've interviewed?
Black Honey, Izzy B. Phillips was the best person I've interviewed.
Yeah.
It was also my first interview.
Oh, that's always really sweet.
She was so lovely. And I had a tech issue halfway through and she just kept going. But the reason she was so good is because she could flip between serious and funny really quickly.
Mm.
So she was happy to give in-depth funny answers, but also in-depth serious answers. And it was just like... She kept the tone really well, because I've had some interviews I've done where it's been really hard to like keep that same tone because the people aren't used to it, or people don't really want to be there or care because they've been told by their agent and they have to do it. But Izzy was really nice. She was so lovely, and I'm seeing Black Honey again in April at Rescue, so people should go. It'll be really good. I'm hoping that my best friend Izzy Phillips remembers me and wait there.
You'll be like, I'm also Izzy. Do you think that's what it was? Do you think because you have the same name, she was like, I must make this good for this person?
Well, it was even more confusing because Izzy Felton No. So we were just three Izzy's emailing back and forth for like 2 weeks. That was crazy.
Oh, I love that. There are a lot of Izzy's, but as I say, we love it. Rachel, have you done?
I've never done anything like that. I really want to. Mm. Like, I'm trying to, like, set feelers. I say I'm trying to set feelers out. I haven't done anything. But, like...
Who do you want to interview the most?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I don't know. I don't feel like... I kind of like the idea of interviewing Lewis Capaldi. Just because he's so, yes. like,
oh,
out of pocket.
He's just so
I feel like
so it'd
be
funny.
A lot of fun.
That would be fun.
I think you would just have the best time because it seems like whatever mood he's in, he's just going to give you either silly answers or maybe answer it properly.
Well, but, I think, yeah, because I think he'd get the tone right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does can read do a room the occasional well. Proper answer, but he's also very happy to just yeah. have a laugh.
Mess around.
And I really respect that because they must do so many interviews.
I know.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but... They're happy. This is kind of going completely different to what we've been talking about, but you know, I like to
spice things up,
change up every so often. Obviously, we are university students.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple university sort of based questions. So, I know, I hate to talk about our degrees.
Stop
but...
putting the versity in university.
Sorry, we're uni students. Uni students just have fun, do radio. Yeah. University students go to Hallward Library.
They do.
Or George Green, if you're so inclined. But my question is, obviously tell the listeners what degrees you do, and part of that, what's been your favourite module you've done?
So I'm only first year, so I'm still very like bright-eyed, bushy-tail about my degree. I love my degree, it's so fun. So I study English literature and language. Which is really, really fun. I read a lot of books. I love it. And my favourite module that I've done so far is the drama, theatre and performance, because as I've said before, I'm a theatre girly. Like, I just love watching theatre and it's just really, really cool. And it's really interesting and I love.
I do find that a lot of the people I know that have done any sort of English degree, like all the theatre modules, they seem like they're just all really fun.
Yeah. You get to like actually do stuff in them. So like in the workshops, we've been like properly like acting out. Did you not?
COVID, we couldn't do it.
Oh no.
And that was not even proper COVID. We didn't get to act, but I'm very jealous.
Yeah, you should be. It was really fun.
Mars, you do liberal arts?
I do, but I do. So with liberal arts, if you do 90 credits in a particular discipline, you get brackets. That so I'm
okay.
Liberal arts brackets English
because you've done a lot of English.
I do at least 2 a year, which will count to wait no isn't that
depends 80? How many credit yeah
so I won't
unless you do another module that's English. Why not? You've got another year.
Yeah, but I won't be able to enforce it
though. Okay.
Oh well, no, I don't have brackets English.
Well, does it count for your first year modules?
What do you mean? Yeah, it does.
How many credits are your modules then?
Oh, wait, no, they're 20 each, so it's not. I just can't do maths. So
and that's why we do English.
40, yeah, so actually I'm good.
You're
I'm
all good, yeah. Had a moment of panic there, I saw.
Yeah, sorry, guys. But no, I did. I think my favourite module so far, I really liked studying language.
Really?
And I predict that my favourite overall will be language development, which I'm about to start, because I really like child language acquisition.
Okay.
Like learning how kids learn to talk and learning, like, kind of, what yeah like one of the job options for me would be to be a speech therapist. I think it would be really interesting.
I feel like you'd be really good at that as well.
Yeah, I like to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you're good at talking,
and I like kids
in a positive no, that's really cool. Yeah. That's such a niche module as well. I mean, yeah. All modules I find are niche, which I like asking people their favourite module.
I think people prefer like language and feminism and society and things like that. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Linguistics, that's more popular, but I do think the CLM gets ignored because it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Is it what you'd recommend? Do you have any modules that you know are coming up for you next year, for Rachel, for you the next 2 years? I'm assuming your degree's 3 years.
Yeah.
That you've kind of pegged as that's going to be a good one.
The pretty much all of the drama ones for me, like specifically the Stanislavski one,
which I'm doing,
which
just finished.
Yeah,
it's good.
That seems so much fun.
And theatre making after it is I've only heard positive, so
yeah.
I recommend you do that.
Yeah.
What about you?
Philosophy of sex.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but you have to have done a philosophy module, and I haven't, and I won't have. So I'm not sure if I can do it. I'm not sure if this one, it definitely requires you to have done something before.
Okay.
If it does, I can't do it. So I need to figure it out. But philosophy of sex, because orgasm, it makes sense.
It would be really interesting to do as well. That's a completely different, I guess, take on it as well, doing the philosophy side.
I'd love it. It would be my perfect module. But other than that, language in the mind, which is a development from language.
Sounds like, from the name, it's the similar sort of thing. Do you find that your modules have fun names, or are they all quite straightforward?
There is one option that I could take called hashtag sociology.
I like that.
I love that.
I like when they're a bit silly with the names or make them sound fun.
I mean, my current one is living in the Anthropocene and more than human world, and that's already a fun name for me, I think.
See, that's way more interesting. Mine are all called development economics, financial economics, advanced financial economics if you do it in third year. Which is fine, but it's like, guys, give me something interesting.
Do you have fun modules?
I have modules I really enjoy, but I don't know if other people would find them fun. One I did in first year that was actually really good was called The Politics of Economics and the Economics of Politicians. And it's partially done with Vince Cable, who was... either was a Labour MP, Chancellor of the Exchequer, something like that. He's worked in the government for a long time, and he kind of has a few videos he records, and then you kind of go through important historical political figures and kind of taking them, stemming off from that, what are their economic ideas they introduced and all that, which I really enjoyed because we did, you know, went through like Hamilton, which was... I was like, am I basically know all of this already? Because I have heard Hamilton and watched Hamilton. Because there's always like a bit of a history bit about the person. And I was like, I know that. Guys.
I've seen the musical. I know the musical.
I know the musical.
Hamilton wrote the other 51.
Yeah, and then the next bit was like, so this is the argument for and against a centralised government. It's like, okay, so there is actual like substance to this. But I think that's the only one that I've done that the general public would deem interesting. But I've really enjoyed a lot of stuff I've done. I've also really hated a lot of stuff I've done. So, you know, it's just how it is. Again, sort of being on a uni. This is more of a uni question.
Yeah.
Where's your favourite spot on campus? Obviously not the URN studio, because we all know everyone loves being here. But if you're just going to campus, where are you going to be?
Top floor of Monica Partridge.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. But to be fair, I do a lot of studying in George Green in the cafe bit, because it's open 24 hours and I only study at 2 a.m. It's like me and Ali normally studying at 2 a.m.
Is Monica Partridge 24 hours as well?
No.
I think it was supposed to be, but it isn't.
It's nice in the daytime. So if I'm daytime studying and it's not too busy, Monica Partridge. But I'm not usually awake. I'm not great at being awake. I'm an after dark, I'm nocturnal.
Fair.
So, yeah.
I guess you are falling into the stereotype then.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Daytime is wake up at 7 a.m. and a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I'm not. I've never been bushy-tailed in my life.
That's really sad.
Rachel, do you have a spot, your go-to spot?
Probably. I mean, I'm still quite new. And that is my branding as a first year, going like, yeah, well, I'm new, I don't know anything.
Well, I have to show you the spots.
Yeah, I literally don't know anything, but...
I reckon by the end of this year, you'll find a place you like.
Yeah, I think at the moment, I think it's specifically desk, like, 142 on the top floor of Hallward Library. That is my specific desk, and I love it.
I have a couple specific desks in Hallward, depending on my mood of studying. Because during COVID in first year... it was very much you had to book your desk, and if you had to go sit at the desk you actually booked to be at, because you have to sign in and do all this stuff anyway. And
people steal people's spots.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've never like booked a desk before, and I feel like I probably should.
You don't need to these days, but they're all still up from COVID.
Yeah,
it's like if someone comes and kicks you out, you move. But
yeah,
yeah,
but it doesn't happen. So I have.
Everyone knows 142 is my desk in Hallward. So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I had to kind of experience a few different ones, and I have perfected. Where am I going to sit and actually do work? Where am I going to sit if I want to be around people? Where am I going to sit if I'm feeling like I need to be a day in my life study tuber? Even though I never would do that personally, I like to mentally pretend I am. So then it motivates me to actually sit down and do my work.
That's actually so relatable.
I'm like, I just need to romanticise this idea
and I'll actually do it.
I know, like, the precise, like, music backgrounds in my head as well, like, walking over.
Yeah, I have that when I walk into campus and it's sunny. I'm like, today is going to be a day where I'm smart, and I'll go get my little coffee or something, and I'll go...
it's coffee, Zach, because I didn't drink coffee until, like, a month ago, and now it's, like, that makes me feel inspired.
What's your go-to coffee or hot drink order?
I yesterday went to town and bought 4 coffee syrups. I had a glazed donut latte this morning.
That sounds lovely. Is that your go-to, amazing. Or is this just like a new era of Moz?
New era. I would say gingerbread latte is my, like, or cinnamon latte. I'm a latte person. I'm a milky, milky girl. I like almond milk as well, which I'm finding places do less. It's like oat and soy, which is...
Oat and soy are the two sort of go-tos. Soy seems to always be the alternative they have because I believe it's the cheapest. I'm allergic to it, so
actually,
it makes me upset.
I have a personal vendetta against soy milk. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I am lactose. Yeah.
Mine is that it makes my throat close up and I feel like I can't breathe.
And that's but... completely valid.
Yeah, but I'm with you here. I am against soy milk.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like,
I have no reason to be, but I am too.
It just gives me like the same vibe as people who just like put water on cereal. That's pretty much what you're doing if you're putting soy milk on cereal. No.
Oat milk at least makes it a bit creamier.
Yeah, and that is why I love oat
milk.
Have
you had cashew nut milk?
I have.
Because that is the creamiest thing ever.
Really?
It is too creamy for me.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay. It's my cousin's go-to, and she was like, let me introduce you to cashew nut milk. And I was like...
I need to give rice milk. Upon Starlet, my housemate, her recommendation was to give rice milk under there.
Rice noodles. Ooh. They're really good. Never tried rice milk.
I want to try pea milk.
Ooh, me too.
Pea milk?
They had it in Tesco a year ago, and I haven't seen it since, because I think it's... not really taken off, shall we say. But it's an interesting one. Apparently it does slightly taste like peas, though.
Ew.
Grim.
Ew. No. which is not what you want with it, but fair enough. Do you have a sort of iconic either item of clothing, or you can just do something about you that's iconic? Because, you know, this is radio. There's no visual element to it. So if you're walking around campus and, you know, the die-hard Pinch Vault listeners are like, I want to know which one's Moz. What do you look like?
Flip and reverse this question, because I'm going to be narcissistic here. I have a lot of iconic.
You do.
You are just iconic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What do you think my most iconic is clothing?
I will say, ever since you got your red coat, because if I'm right, that's a more recent purchase.
Actually, no.
I got it
in November.
That's recent to me.
No, it was in November in first year.
Okay.
I got it the day after my ex-boyfriend broke up with me, because I was having a Taylor Swift moment, and the red... album was re-released that day.
All I remember is the first time I saw it stuck out in my mind, and I was like, that is a coat.
I think
that coat.
That is a coat. That might be, I think I've got 3 answers. So the red coat was one thing, and the red trousers that I have that match.
Oh, yes.
My pink fluffy coat that makes me look like I skinned a muffin.
Oh, I do love that one as well.
And my last answer would be my orange cut hole dress. Do you remember? You weren't there when I wore it, but it's gone down in history.
Okay.
From a particular annihilation that a lot of people remember. That was about this time last year.
Yeah, I definitely was not there.
No, you weren't there. But
I was.
You weren't there.
I know.
But, other people listening that you're on and about, but that dress, it's orange, it's swirly, it's got a lot of holes in it, and it's kind of iconic. Mm. I look like a sexy tangerine.
Ooh, I do like that. I need to see this dress now.
And these earrings, which I decided are now part of my wardrobe.
That's fair.
They are lovely earrings.
Yeah, they're lovely star earrings, so if you ever see someone with big star earrings...
That's me.
It'll be Moz.
And a fringe now.
Yeah. Rachel, do you have a look, an accessory that you think... people will know me by this.
If you ever see like Converse, it's probably me. Like anyone wearing Converse, it's probably me.
Converse?
That's what I say. Converse? Converse? The shoes.
I say yeah.
Converse?
How do you say it?
I'm more of a Converse. I like harsher
Converse.
Yeah.
Converse.
Converse.
I've only ever heard it pronounced as Converse.
That's Bristol for you.
Yeah.
Group Bristol proper. It's not from Bristol.
Yes. Born and raised.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. But yeah, like, I'm pretty... I I think I only have, like, well, I'm getting two new pairs of shoes, but I only have two pairs of shoes at the moment.
That is so fair. I go through, I have one pair until they are ruined and I genuinely should not be wearing them anymore. There is no sole on them. They are falling apart. And then I call them clubbing shoes and get a new pair and still wear them.
Yeah, that is exactly what I do.
I famously only wear Skechers to clubs because I have sensitive ankles, and that is an iconic fact about me.
I love that.
I have really sensitive ankles. Skechers are the way forward.
Skechers always. I feel like Skechers are like the adult shoes that are on par with Lily Kelly.
Yeah.
Like they just have good adverts.
Okay, last two questions. I've just checked the time. We've been talking for 45 minutes. Which is fine. I'll edit stuff out and then we'll have an extended version. So these kind of questions, I'll give them to you both at the same time, but they're kind of, one's looking back, one's looking forward. What's your proudest achievement in life, general, can be really specific, can just be, I'm just happy with who I am today, whatever you want it to be. And the other one is, what are you looking forward to? Again, can be, I'm looking forward to graduating in 2 years' time, can be, I'm looking forward to my pizza tonight.
Ooh.
I'm leaving it very open up to you, whatever you want to tell the listener, whatever you think they need to know about you.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm proud of
this. This is like a very big question, very heavy question.
I don't know what my proudest moment is, but I'm proud of joining student radio. I'm proud of getting into university.
Yeah.
I'm proud of... you know what I am more recently proud of? I'm proud of addressing my own mental health issues and doing something about it.
That's
yeah,
a big one.
I love that.
That might be my answer.
Yeah.
I'm proud of taking action and going, actually, I'm living in a toxic way. Let's fix it. That's why I'm
I think that's a very good thing to be
that's
proud
really
of.
That's really good.
As I say, it can be deep and meaningful. But Rachel, if you want to say you're proud that, I don't know, you started the flute a year before I did, that can also be...
I mean, that is up there. I think, like, I don't know, I think probably my proudest moment is either performing in Royal Albert Hall. That was a big moment for me.
That is so cool.
Yeah, that was really good. I think either that or, like, I don't know, just, like, choosing to do, like, English or something. So like throughout my whole life I've just kind of been like, music is like my thing. Music, like, I let music kind of like define me, and like that sounds much more deeper than it actually is. Like, I was fine, but then like taking the leap to like do something completely out there, something that I enjoy, I found out that I wasn't actually like as in love with music as I thought I was. And so just kind of doing something that I wanted to do and finding out and like refining my passions, like that was a massive thing for me. I was quite proud of myself.
Yeah, that's
for
a
doing
really
that.
Big thing to do. Scary thing to do.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to another year of talking to my friends.
Fun.
I'm looking forward to pushing myself to make better content and I want to do more interviews because I'm not great at them. But I want to get better.
Welcome to my podcast. Literally was the whole reason. I was like, I want to interview people. And also I was like, I want to force everyone who's a member of your own to be friends with me and to know who I am. It's purely
I mean, you
self-game.
Are iconic, you know.
Am I?
Yeah, like Aaron and Joe show, I tune in every single time.
As everyone should.
Yeah.
Everyone should.
Plug,
I do think
plug.
The Aaron and Joe show has elevated me because everyone loves Joe. And now I'm tagged on to Joe. It works. I like it. I'm noticeable and important woman due to my affiliations
anyway.
With men.
Anyway.
Yes, Dom's girlfriend is
eco-frenzy.
What?
No one knew eco-frenzy.
I don't know eco-frenzy.
You and Gary were the first people I met in radio, and you taught me how to use this here.
I think eco-frenzy...
That sounds like... We did that for quite a few people, actually, at the beginning.
Eco-frenzy was the first radio show I listened to. Like, legit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and I was like, wow, like, I love this. Because I think it was quite early on. I don't know. But, like, I remember listening to Eco-Frenzy and then, like, everyone was talking. I think there was discussions about, like, a book club or something.
Probably. Sounds like us.
Like, it's making me sound very stalkerish. And, like, to be fair,
no,
you're not wrong.
I know what you mean. Sometimes I just turn on your end and give a listen to whoever's on.
Yeah.
And I love doing that.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, it's really good. Eco-Frenzy.
Thank you.
Banging show. Banging show.
I do love Eco-Frenzy. He's my baby.
Yeah.
With Gabby and Georgia, obviously. They have helped birth and raise this child with me. It's beautiful. My little three-year-old. Almost three-year-old. Getting there.
Yeah, almost going to primary school.
Oh, goodness, don't say that. They grow up so fast. Rachel, what are you looking forward to?
I think, like, similar to your answer, like just going out and getting involved. So like in like first term, I was very scared of like everything. So like I still am. Like I come into the station and like people are there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is terrifying. So like I'm looking forward to like making friends. Does that make sense? Like I do have friends. I like to think I have friends. But like looking forward to like making like radio friends and like it, like actually talking to people, because I feel like I'm confident enough in myself to like do that now. But yeah, like looking forward to the stuff that I'm doing this term, looking forward to maybe potentially doing some like crossover stuff, so like inviting people on my show if they can wake up in the morning. So
that's quite a tough one, to be honest.
Yeah. See you in the studio 6 a.m. guys. Woo!
What day do you do?
Pardon?
Friday
7 to 9.
Oh.
Me and Ellie are Rachel's co-parents.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that happening?
I feel very loved.
We'll talk about that off the podcast. Yeah, that's completely different. Anyway, I think we'll end it there. We've been going for a while, but I've enjoyed chatting.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
And I love just having an excuse to chat with people and just, I don't know, learn a bit more.
Thank you for having
us. It's nice to know that you're both musical people. And I feel like I'm like kindred spirits, you know?
Yeah. We'll start like a flute podcast, yes, where we'll just like play flute music.
I love that.
Please, I haven't played since I got to uni, because I was like, that is 10 years of my life. I don't want to continue.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's okay. We love it.
We stan.
We do love the flute.
Do we?
We respect our roots and where we came from. Let's go with that. Let's go with that. Anyway, thank you both for being on with me today. And I don't know how to end podcasts. I'm still working on that. That's my big thing.
But peace.
Thank you.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah, this was really fun.
And I love just having an excuse to chat with people and just, it's nice to know that you're both musical people. And I feel like I'm like kindred spirits, you know?
Yeah. We'll start like a flute podcast, yes, where we'll just like play flute music.
I love that.
Please, I haven't played since I got to uni, because I was like, that is 10 years of my life.
If you've enjoyed listening to my voice, yeah, make sure you check out our Instagram, okay, Off Air on Your End, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.
We do love the flute.
Do we?
We respect our roots and where we came from. Let's go with that. Let's go with that. Anyway, thank you both for being on with me today.
It was really fun doing an episode with two guests, so shout out and thank you to Rachel and Izzy. If you've enjoyed listening to them during this episode, make sure you follow them on Instagram and TikTok. For Izzy Morris, follow her at izzy.morris, her After Dark show at pinchofalt_URN, or her podcast at Erngasm Podcast. For Rachel, on Instagram, follow _rach.p_, or follow her show at URN_top25, as well, as we mentioned a few times throughout the episode, Rachel has an amazing TikTok that you should give a follow, which is the same name, at URN_top25.